today as we come to the table.
I believe God wants us to start our day with Him, and I believe God wants us to end our day with Him. Remember, He told Joshua, He said, if you will stay in my word morning and night, it will go well with you. But Mark, I'm with God all day. I walk around with God all day talking to God. I walk around all day praising God. I drive in my car talking to God. I drive in my car praising God. Good. Continue to do that. That's just normal life. But if you don't have those moments of intimacy that you set aside, you'll never be close. Is everybody with me?
In today's message, Pastor Mark will continue to talk through the garments of the priests, the sacrifices of the tabernacle, and much more about the specifics of how the Israelites were to worship the Lord. These specifics may not be things we practice today, but the principles of worship established in these chapters of Exodus are still applicable. One principle is what Pastor Mark just described. God wants you to spend time with Him, always. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Are you making space in your day for the Lord? Is it simply a quick prayer now and then when you have a second to spare? Don't let the busyness of life take the place of soaking in God's presence. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Exodus chapter 29 for today's edition of Come to the Table.
And it shall be from the children of Israel for Aaron and his sons by a statute forever, for it is a heave offering. It shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel, from the sacrifice and the peace offerings, that is their heave offering to the Lord. Now the wave offering back and forth, heave offering, you're giving this heave offering up to the Lord. Lord, it's yours, but you're letting me keep it. Lord, I'm waving this. I'm showing that all that I have belongs to you. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be for his sons after him to be anointed on them and to be consecrated in them. That son who becomes priest in his place shall put them on for 7 days when he enters the tabernacle of meeting to minister to the holy place. And you shall take the ram of the consecration, boil its flesh in the holy place. And Aaron and his son shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket by the door. Note that again, of the tabernacle of meeting. Now again, they were to wear these clothes for 7 days. They were to stay in the tabernacle 7 days until that was done to make them official. Why? The number seven being the number of completion. God's saying, I want you to be completely sanctified, completely holy, completely set apart for me. And notice this, you're to eat of the sacrifice by the door. Again, do you see the picture going on here? Jesus is the door to God. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. He wasn't talking about cannibalism. He was talking about the symbolism of becoming one. When you eat something, you become one. It assimilates in your body. You know, that burger you had today, it becomes one with you when you eat it. So he's saying, become one with me. Take me in. Let me be a part of you. You be a part of me. And you're to eat this again by the door. So would it become one with the Lord? And he is the door and all these things. Verse 33, they shall eat those things with which the atonement was made to consecrate and to sanctify them. But the outsider, note this, but the outsider shall not eat them because they are holy. We would say the unbeliever cannot have the fellowship. An unbeliever cannot be one with the Lord. An unbeliever cannot even hear the voice of the Lord other than repent. You know, I mean, God could say they can hear the voice of the Lord. If God wants to say something to them, I don't want to limit the Lord there. But you get my point. There's no relationship. So an outsider can't take part of this. And if any of the flesh of the consecrated offerings or the bread remains until morning, then you shall burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten because it is holy. Thus you shall do to Aaron and his sons according to all that I've commanded you. 7 days you shall consecrate them. You shall offer every bull every day as a sin offering for atonement. You shall cleanse the altar when you make atonement for it. You shall anoint it and sanctify it. Now, why did they have to make offerings every day? Because we sin every day. Good answer. Or somebody say it. We're forgiven, and if you sin and die right after it, you're going to heaven. You know, the Bible talks about God's blood covering you. But because we sin every day, we need to be cleansed every day. There needs to be not a repeated sacrifice. The sacrifice was done once and for all. But we need to go to the Lord and say, God, forgive me. Cleanse me of today's sins. Wash me clean, you know. It's like Jesus said to Peter when he was washing his feet. He said, you're clean. He said, you just need to wash your feet. He was making a point. You're forgiven of your sins, but when you walk around in the world, you get a lot of dirt on you. Are you with me? And the only way to get the dirt off is to wash it off. And we wash the dirt of the world off by asking God's forgiveness. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. 7 days you shall make atonement and sanctify, and the altar shall be most holy. Whatever touches the altar must be holy. So make atonement for it, sanctify it, etc. Verse 38. Now the daily offerings. Very interesting to me. Notice this. A lot of pictures here for us as believers as well. Now this is what you shall offer on the altar. Two rams of the first year, day by day, continually. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. I believe there's a picture in Scripture of the way God wants us to have a relationship with Him in this. And what do I mean by that? I believe God wants us to start our day with Him, and I believe God wants us to end our day with Him. Remember, He told Joshua, He said, Joshua, He said, if you will stay in my word morning and night, it will go well with you. But Mark, I'm with God all day. I walk around with God all day talking to God. I walk around all day praising God. I drive in my car talking to God. I drive in my car praising God. Good. Continue to do that. That's just normal life. But if you don't have those moments of intimacy that you set aside, you'll never be close. Is everybody with me? If a husband and wife are together all day, every day, but all they do is live normal life, they will never be close. Ever. They'll know each other. They'll know each other's patterns. They'll say hi. They'll discuss issues from school or work. But if they don't set aside a time where they just stop and say, we're going to be together, there'll never be a closeness there. And I believe that's the picture God is giving here. God is our husband. We are His bride. God said, carve out time for me. Set it aside and be with me, even if it's for a short amount of time. There's a great principle here, guys. And I think it's very important with the Lord and in our lives, in married life, as well as any relationship we have that we want to be intimate. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. With the one lamb, there shall be a tenth of an ephah of flour mixed with 1/4 of a hin of pressed oil, 1/4 of a hin of wine as a drink offering. And the other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and you shall offer it with grain offerings and drink offerings in the morning of a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you and speak with you. I love it. God says, if you do these things, look at this. If you set this aside for me and you're faithful to it, what does God say He'll do? He'll meet with us and speak with us. I love it. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. So I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests. I will dwell among the children of Israel, and I will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Now in chapter 30, he kind of just recaps some of these. We'll go through this quickly. He recaps the implements of the inside of the altar, of the inside of the tabernacle that we talked about, and we'll just remind you what they stood for. But we've covered these. He said, you shall make an altar to burn incense on. You shall make it of acacia wood. A cubit shall be its length, a cubit its width. It shall be square. Two cubits shall be its height. Its horn shall be of one piece. Again, this was to offer up that incense they would burn to the Lord, which represented the prayers of Israel going up and that sweet, sweet smell to the Lord. You shall overlay its top and its sides and its horns of pure gold, and you shall make it for it a molding of gold all around. Two gold rings you shall make for it. Under the molding on both of its sides, you shall place them on its two sides, and they will be holders for the poles which to bear it. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, and you shall put it before the veil that is before the Ark of the Testimony. Now again, right in front of where the Ark of the Covenant was, on the other side of the veil, and where they met with God. So again, everything being kingly, so you have the gold as that kingly metal. Put it before the mercy seat that is over the testimony where I will meet with you. Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning when he tends the lamps, and he shall burn incense on it. So note that every morning he's burning incense before the Lord. What does that represent? Prayer going up to the Lord every morning. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Notice when you burn the incense, what happens? Your lamp gets lit up, guys. When you burn the incense, the lamp gets lit up. Time in prayer. You shall not offer strange incense on it, a burnt offering or a grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it. And Aaron shall make atonement upon its horns once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once a year you shall make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is unto the Lord. That is, only once a year he would go into the Holy of Holies in the ark and put the blood on that. They would go into the, remember, the holy place, which was outside the veil. They went in there every day. But the Holy of Holies only once. Now we come to the ransom money. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, when you take a census of the children of Israel for their number, then every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord, that is, pay some money when you number them. Notice this. Why? That there may be no plague among you when you number them. God said they could number them, but they were to pay and to give God an offering for that numbering. Now, we don't know all the reason for that, but remember when David called for the numbering of the children of Israel, but he didn't have the priest do it, and they didn't do an offering? The nation was judged. And so a plague came and judged a large portion of the nation. This is what everyone among those who are numbered shall give. Half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. A half shekel shall be an offering to the Lord. Everyone included among those who are numbered from 20 years old above shall give an offering. The rich shall not give more than the poor, nor shall the poor give less than a shekel. When you give an offering to the Lord to make atonement for yourself. So you could give as much as you wanted if you had the money, and there would be different levels of giving depending on what they had. But when it came to the ransom money for numbering the children of Israel, that was all to be the same. Everyone treated the same. And you shall take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of meeting, that it may be a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord to make atonement for yourselves. Now we come to the bronze laver. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, you shall also make a laver of bronze. Remember, this was that its base also bronze for washing, this bronze being the metal of judgment. They were to come here and they were to wash themselves so they wouldn't be judged. That is, the priest that was watering this, they would wash before they went into the tabernacle. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it. So you had the altar, you burn the animal, then you would go before you went in to sprinkle the blood or do whatever, you'd wash off, and then you'd go in. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their heads and their feet in water from it, and they shall go into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn the offering made by fire to the Lord, they shall wash with water, lest they die. So pretty heavy judgment in that time for not doing it right. I'm glad that God didn't do that today. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. That is, you need to be clean before the Lord. See, now the blood of the Lamb cleanses us. So as we minister for the Lord, there's not that judgment. And it shall be a statute forever to them, to him and his generations, throughout their generations. Now the holy anointing oil. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourself a quantity of spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, have as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. So this is the mixture for the anointing oil. You shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of the testimony, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver with its base. You shall consecrate them that they may be holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister to me as priests. Now, again, these are all these rituals that were needed before the blood. Aren't you glad we have the blood now? Man, I would not want to be a pastor if this was the requirement. Man, I would not want to do this. I'm not that I wouldn't want to serve the Lord. And certainly if I'd grown back in that culture and God called me to do it, it would have been an honor. Okay, don't get me wrong on that. What I'm saying is it would have been a lot of busy work on just making sure that all the ritualistic things were done. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it. This was to be very exclusionary for the Lord. That is, according to its composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Note this warning here in verse 33. Whoever compounds any like it, whoever puts any of it on an outsider shall be cut off, that is, killed from among the people. So if anybody was to get the anointing oil from the temple or the tabernacle and just use it as, you know, you're going out that night and you're going to, you know, hit the town and you want to put on that holy fragrance, you know, this is not what you'd want to do because they would put you to death for that. It was to be protected for the use of the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices. I'm not sure if I'll say these right. Stack, onka, gilbanum. Pure frankincense with these sweet spices, and there shall be equal amounts of each. Say it fast enough. Nobody knows if you said it right. Anyway, you shall make of these an incense, a compound, according to the art of a perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. Again, notice the holiness, notice the purity, notice the sweet smell of the perfume, notice the salt. What is salt? Salt's a purifier. It's a preservative. Remember, you put salt on things to preserve it. So we are to be pure before the Lord. We're to be preserved in that pureness. And that's why the Lord said, we are the salt of the earth. You're purifiers. You're walking pieces of salt. You know, you guys get around somebody and some word comes out. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Why? Because you're salt. And it's a purifying process. You just being a Christian purifies those around you. It's amazing. And you shall beat some of it very fine. Put some of it before the testimony of the tabernacle of meeting where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. But as for the incense which you shall make, you shall not make any for yourselves according to its composition. It shall be to you holy unto the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to smell it, he shall be cut off from his people. Now he goes on, but this is kind of neat. In chapter 31, and this will probably be the last chapter. I'm going to try to squeeze two more in tonight because there's too much in chapter 32. I'd rather end a little early. But this is neat to me because now it comes to building the tabernacle. And guys, note this. Whenever God calls you to do a work, he's going to give you everybody you need to fulfill that work. Everything you need to do ministry in, God's going to give you. And so really, you know, if you don't have what you need to do the ministry there, maybe God's not calling you to do that ministry. And that's been one of the struggles over the years for me in ministry. I mean, needs are everywhere. Look around. Anybody see any needs? But if we get to where we're a needs-based fellowship, we're going to be in big trouble. And I've slipped into that before. What do I mean by that? Man, we really need a college-age group. We really need that. Who would agree that we at Calvary need a college-age group? I mean, we need a college-age group. But if you just try to fill the slot, it's never going to work. God has to raise up a person with a heart for the college age, a person with the call, a person with the anointing, a person with the time, a person with the, and all these different things. And over the years, there have been people that have done all kinds of ministries that have been good and have ministered to a degree. But unless there's that place where God raises that person up, that's just at the right moment, at the right time, it doesn't work. And so to chase after needs-based things isn't good. You can come up with any needs you want, but it has to be the Lord or it's not going to go. Well, we're going to see here, he raises up the ones that he needs. Notice this. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, see, I've called you by name, Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. So God raised him up. God called him and God gave him what he needed to do it. Notice that. To design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for settings of carving wood, to work at every manner of workmanship. God gave him all the skills he needed. And I indeed have, I have appointed him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, and I put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans that they may make all that I've commanded you. The tabernacle of meeting, the ark of testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle. So you got all the people that can make all these things that God's asking them to make. The table, the utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all the utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver and its base. The garments of ministry, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister as priests, and the anointing oil and the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I've commanded, they shall do. Now, how comforting that would be for God to say, you know what? I've called you to do this. Now, here's all the people to do it. That's pretty neat. Doesn't always work that way, but that's neat when God, you know, what God has called us to do, God will give us what we need. Now, the Sabbath law, lastly here, and notice this. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between you and me throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Now, he's going to qualify this even more. Notice a sign between he and the nation of Israel. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. I mean, heavy, it's a big deal. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among the people. Work shall be done 6 days, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. He's emphasizing that a lot, isn't he? You know, this is a big deal. Therefore, the children of Israel, note this. Look at verse 16 again. I want to emphasize this. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. Note verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Stop. Who and only who was the Sabbath a covenant with? The nation of Israel. The Sabbath was never a covenant with the Gentile. It was never given to the Gentiles. As a matter of fact, out of the Ten Commandments, the only one you won't find in the New Testament is, guess what? The Sabbath is not given in the New Testament. It's not there. Now, let me give this balance. Does that mean that you shouldn't take a day off and rest? No, you should. Does that mean you shouldn't set aside a day for the Lord? No, you should. But it's not the law. It was given to the nation of Israel as a sign between them and God and was never given to the Gentiles or the Gentile nation. Again, that's why you won't find it in the New Testament. It's a sign between me and you and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. And by the way, the Bible says that the Sabbath was fulfilled in Christ. Verse 18, and when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Wow, can you imagine? Hey, man, can I see your Bible? Well, be careful. God wrote this one. You know, every Bible is written by God. No, I mean God really wrote this. So Moses kind of had one like nobody else had, right? Pretty awesome. Again, tonight, a lot of the regulations for the tabernacle, a lot of reminder of the utensils used in the tabernacle, a lot of symbolism of the priest and the things being set apart for the priest in the tabernacle, but a lot of rich stuff. Next week, we get into some really neat stuff. Moses is going to come back down the mountain, and you're going to see that the people are already in rebellion. They've already turned and started to rebel. And so it gets a little bit more exciting next week, and so I didn't want to try to jump into that. We'll just cover that next week. But guys, let's set ourselves apart. You guys are kings and priests of the Lord. Let's put the blood on our ear. Let's put the blood on our big toe. Let's put the blood on our thumb. Let's put the blood next to our eyes. Let's put the blood on our heart. Let's you know, wash us in the blood, right? And let's live holy lives set apart for the Lord so we can be the ministers that God wants us to be. And by the way, you are ministers. So let's do it for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, that is what I want to pray for us tonight. I pray that we would be clean and pure ministers unto you. Father, I ask that you would help us to put the blood on our ear, on our hand, on our feet, that our walk would be good, that our hands would be holy, that our ears would be pure. Lord, that we would guard our eyes, that we would, Lord, guard our hearts so that we walk holy before you. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for the holiness of your word. I thank you for the purity of your word. And God, I thank you for speaking to us tonight, Lord. God, transform us. Convict us, Lord. Let us have a desire to walk holy with you and before you so that we might be used, not only used by you, but God, that we might please you. God, give us hearts that desire to please you. I just pray that if any of us have fallen into a routine tonight. We're going through the motions. We're doing the right things, but God, our heart's not really in it. And we're not really living to please you. God, forgive me of so often not living to please you, but really living to please me. God, have mercy on me. Help me to walk in purity before you. God, have mercy on us and help us to walk in holiness and purity, laying it all down, Lord, for you, because you laid it all down for us.
Thanks for coming to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Exodus. This Old Testament book of the Bible is an interesting one, as it's the end of one era for the people of Israel, heading into a new season for them that leads them back to their homeland. Through the events in this book, you'll learn of God's miraculous ways of bringing people to freedom. Just looking at the seemingly impossible things that God brought about through the book of Exodus helps you realize that He's a God of power, authority, and incredible majesty. The Israelites experienced this firsthand, but it didn't take long for them to forget what he'd done. Can you relate? Perhaps you've seen God work in your life in amazing ways, but it doesn't take long to be back in a place where you feel like God isn't working in your life. If that's so, we'd really like to be a support for you in prayer. If you go to thewaymedia.net, you'll find a questions and comments link. Go ahead and fill out this form, and we'd like to know what we can be praying for, as well as any thoughts or comments about what you've heard today. You can also listen to additional teachings at thewaymedia.net. That's all the time we have for today, but Pastor Mark has more to share from the miracle-filled book of Exodus. We hope you'll join us again and learn and grow in ways that God speaks to you personally related to the things written down in Exodus. We're thankful for you taking the time today to listen, and we look forward to you joining us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.